Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Let's do this. Another day, another dollar, another edition of The Drive. You guys are lucky to even have my presence today. I was driving up a hill. My car was not cooperating. I thought about saying, blanket, let me just drive in reverse and just go home. But you know what? I had to power through it today because I care about you guys. Because there's nothing I love more than doing this show. I am a champion today for braving the elements, the adversity, the weather, to be here with you today. It is The Drive. Carrington Harrison here, Brandon Kiley here, and to my right, I do like the fact that you told us a couple days ago you do not have a Kansas basketball hoodie.
But I got a K-State.
But you do have a K-State hoodie, but KU is your favorite basketball team. We got to have a Brad Fanning investigation.
No. My stepdaughter goes to K-State. She got this for me for Christmas. So when you're sending money to a university, you can wear that hoodie. Trust me. And BK, I got a question for you right out of the gate, man. You know that story we just heard from CDOT about how he was trying to get here and he made up this great story about getting stuck on a hill? You think this has anything to do with the fact that we just talked about having like a 10:45 meeting every day and then CDOT was 30 minutes late, so he had to concoct this story and blame it on Mother Nature? I'm just throwing it out there.
As someone who also lives like towards downtown Kansas City, it was touch and go for me to get here as well.
It just sounded like
it sounded like
a lot of detail for a story to make it almost semi-unbelievable, because that's typically the way you can get out of stuff.
I don't know about you guys. I worked on Dr. Martin Luther King Day. Plus, I'm black, so I really get two holidays for it. So, I mean, if I didn't want to come today, I very easily just could have said, you know what, I'm done today. But I wanted to push through it for you guys. Thank you so much for listening. It is The Drive. Very happy that you were listening. Hopefully, you got to your destination safely. We're going to talk a lot about pickup basketball today. You want to know how I know it's the offseason? You want to know how I know the Royals aren't going to be good this season? Pickup basketball is the number one thing we're talking about. Not the NBA trade deadline where actual basketball players are being moved. Not your Kansas City Chiefs team that went to the AFC Championship game. We talked a lot about KU yesterday. So today we're like, man, what are we going to talk about today? Well, pickup basketball is the number one thing we're talking about in Kansas City. This story is courtesy of Pro Football Talk. Quote, this is from the general manager of your football team in a response to a viral video. I think it's fair to call it viral, certainly here locally. You guys remember when Patrick Mahomes is out here doing his best Kyrie Irving impression? He's out here crossing dudes over, filet. He was out here cooking people on the basketball court.
He was ball hogging, by the way.
Quote, we spoke to Patrick Mahomes' agent, who is Lee Steinberg, Bink's homeboy, and said Chiefs Kingdom can be assured there will be no more basketball for Pat. Quote, we were able to nip that in the bud. Now, I got a lot of points on this. There's a lot of things that I do not understand about this story. Let's start with this. Now, I am not naive to the fact of how important Patrick Mahomes is, that he is the most important person in Kansas City. He is your quarterback, that I understand that different rules apply to Mahomes that do not apply to the other guys on the Kansas City Chiefs. Can we at least acknowledge the fact that other Chiefs players were playing in this exact same game? This was not some Mahomes shows up in Rucker Park and starts hooping against random street ballers. There were other Chiefs players playing on his team and against Patrick Mahomes in this, including, we can agree, one of the, five most important players on the team?
Mm-hmm.
Certainly somebody this offseason who would like to protect his body. Certainly somebody this offseason who you'd like to have in the mix to try to help you win a Super Bowl next year in Tyreek Hill. I've seen Tyreek Hill on Instagram do windmill dunks before, and we all mean, man, that's really athletic. That's really cool. Never heard one time us tell Tyreek Hill to stop playing basketball.
Does he play quarterback in the NFL?
No, he does not.
Okay.
But I don't think you can win a Super Bowl without Tyreek Hill. Now, I'm not arguing that he is as important as Patrick Mahomes. That'd be a foolish argument.
Yeah.
But you can agree, if we made a list of important players for the 2019 season, who do they most need to go to the Super Bowl, some of you would have Tyreek Hill as second on the list.
How many Super Bowls has Tom Brady won with multiple receivers, with different guys at receiver?
Six.
Okay, yeah. And I don't know
if I'm ready to call Patrick Mahomes Tom Brady, but I get the point you're making.
Fair enough. I mean, but the quarterback position is the most important position in all of sports. And I'll say this again. Mahomes' life is completely different now than it was 8-9 months ago. You got to protect it. The guy's going to be the face of the league, potentially, and he's going to be the richest player in the NFL. If he buckles a knee playing pickup basketball, we're all going to be pissed that he was playing pickup basketball. I got no problem with what the Chiefs are doing. If Frank Zombo wants to skydive, go for it. Orlando Scandrick, if he wants to go play 15 pickup basketball games, I don't care. Go play. Reggie Ragland, do the same thing. You're Patrick Mahomes, the MVP of the league, in his first year that threw 50 touchdown passes, 5,000 yards, and you got your team to the AFC title game with one of the crappiest defenses in the history of the Kansas City Chiefs. He has tremendous value. So I understand where the Chiefs are coming from on this.
I do understand that, again, you play quarterback in the NFL, that the stories are going to be different. The last year when Jimmy Garoppolo was out dating that porn star, we only care because you're Jimmy Garoppolo. If that was the tight end, if that was George Kittle, we're not having the conversation about it. So I don't live in a world where I can't acknowledge that quarterbacks just have different rules. But I'm just bringing up the fact of, we agree, if we made a power ranking of people that were also, or that are on the Chiefs team, we agree Mahomes is number one with the bullet point, by far and away the most important on the team. We could also make a list of the same people, and some people would have Tyreek Hill as the second most important player on their team. He was playing in the game. Nobody has a problem with Tyreek Hill playing in the game. Then I would say further on, what are some of the things you do in basketball? You run, right?
Yeah.
Very important to being a professional athlete.
Sure.
Running, condition, cardio. Mm-hmm. You also jump in basketball. Mm-hmm. Very important. We agree. Also something you would do on the football field. I've seen Mahomes jumps before. You would also cut lateral movement. We agree. Something very important for you to play football. Trying to stay in shape. You play old man baseball. You understand the importance of going out, exercising, getting some fresh air, and running around a little bit.
I'm not worth $200 million either.
Would Mahomes be doing these things anyway? Like, I would say, to me, the difference in what you're saying is skydiving. If that's the conversation we were having, if there was a video where Patrick Mahomes was going Will Smith and he was jumping out of an airplane, I would be on everybody's side here. Hey, you know what? That's probably not something you should be doing. If Mahomes was out here bungee jumping off cliffs, I would be on everybody's side here with Patrick Mahomes. I would be on Brett Veach's side. I'd be on your side. I would be on everybody's side if that's the video. But to me, Mahomes was doing things that he would already be doing. We don't want Mahomes running during the offseason.
It's not
we
true.
We don't want Mahomes jumping during the offseason.
We don't want Mahomes trying to keep his body in shape during the offseason. Can Mahomes do all of those things without nine other randos on the court? Can he do all those things?
But we
can
say nine other randos. Some of the players on the team were guys on his team.
Some. Man, there's a lot of different things that you can happen when you got nine other guys running around you. So I'm fine with the Chiefs on this. Hey, listen, if Chad Henne wants to go play pickup basketball, knock yourself out, man. Go play a bunch. Who's that dude that I was high on in the Chase Litton, the kid for Marshall, the third string backup quarterback? Play as much pickup basketball as you want. If we're going to agree that stars have different rules for them and they can get away with certain things and do certain things, then stars have different rules in the opposite direction as well. It is the most valuable commodity that the Chiefs have had probably in their history. And they're not asking this guy to give up his entire life. They're saying, you know what, just don't play pickup basketball. It doesn't sound like they're asking a whole lot of him to me.
But I guess in some of the other instances that I give, no one would disagree that basketball is great physical exercise and a good workout.
Of course, but are there other ways to do that?
Yeah, there is.
Okay.
But we can agree he could also get hurt doing those things too, right?
Yeah, but he's not – if he's just going to go out for a run, if he's going to get on a treadmill, he's not got nine other dudes around him running, cutting, and jumping either. So, to me, that's much safer for Mahomes to do that. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, so I guess I'm fully trying to understand. Our issue is not that Mahomes is working out in the offseason, because obviously everybody wants him to do it. The issue now is we want Mahomes now going forward to only work out in specialized controlled environments. Let me ask you this.
There's just too many variables in a pickup basketball.
Let me ask you.
Yeah.
So, Would we be fine with Patrick Mahomes playing basketball if it was just only Chiefs players, if it was a team-building thing?
I would feel better about that, absolutely.
Because we're perfectly fine with all the other 52 guys on the roster playing basketball. We don't care if they play basketball. Chris Jones, go play basketball. D4, go play basketball. We don't care if you go play basketball. Only one person has to sit and watch the rest of them play basketball. So we would be fine with Patrick Mahomes if he just said, you know what? This is what I want to do. I really enjoy it. This gives me happiness. So I will concede to, I will not go to 24-hour fitness. I will not go to One Light. I will not just play basketball with random people anymore. But I think this is great physical exercise, and this helps me stay competitive in the offseason. This helps condition my body to go out there and do it. But I agree, I will only play basketball with Chiefs players. Would everybody be fine with that if that was the case?
I would be much better with that, absolutely, because those guys all understand the importance of staying healthy and protecting their bodies. 100%, I would be happy about that. One of the things that Brett Veach said in this whole deal, too, is that the thing that scares him, at least partially about this, is that Mahomes can't turn off the competitive juices. So he's going to go hard the entire time. Like, he's going to go out there and bring it. It's not just a friendly competitive game. He's not just going to cherry pick and sit out by the three-point line and launch bombs and have fun and have a few laughs. That's not the way the guy's wired.
I just don't know if we know that because, I mean, I guess...
Well, I mean, I'm just going on what the general manager of the Kansas City Chiefs said. You know, and I'm going off the fair assumption that the majority of the guys that play in the National Football League are hyper-competitive alpha males. You know, I think that's a pretty safe assumption. I don't think you got a whole lot of passive guys, you know, playing in the NFL right now.
There's another part of the story that confuses me, too. The Chiefs have a basketball goal in their locker room. So the Chiefs, to some degree, want their players to... Hey, have team camaraderie, go play basketball, shoot around. I've been in the locker room when they've shot around. I've shot around with them before. Other media members have shot around. The Chiefs kind of promote this activity. So it's a little bit surprising to me now, though, we got to, quote, nip it in the bud. This is what I'll say on this. Because we all follow the NFL. We all see all these stories. If this is Patrick Mahomes' vice in the offseason, that's something I can live with. Of all the things that you can do as an NFL player, given the offseason we saw one of their prominent players have last season, this is something I can live with. You remember when Ezekiel Elliott was essentially in trouble every single week? Antonio Brown. We can find various superstar, big-time athletes. If you're telling me that the worst thing Mahomes does this offseason is, I like to play pickup basketball, that's something I'm willing to trade. That's something that I personally can live with. I'm not his employer, though. But I'm saying is, if Mahomes is the type that, hey, you know what? I don't like to go out to the club. I don't want to do that stuff. I'm not going to be out here chasing women. I got a girlfriend. But you know what? I like to play pickup basketball in the offseason. That's my vice. That's my thing. So when I get this $200 million, I am building a basketball court in my house, and you cannot stop me from doing it. I feel like that's something everybody should live with. Mahomes, we agree. Stay completely out of trouble. Seems to have a good head on his shoulder.
Yeah.
We are not expecting any crazy headline around Mahomes. I think Mahomes is smarter than that. If this is the biggest thing we're going to talk about from Patrick Mahomes until football season starts, I kind of feel like everybody should be happy to take that trade.
But can't you see the common sense in this whole thing? What if Mahomes buckles a knee? I mean, hell, Carson Wentz did it, and he hadn't been the same since. And now he's got back issues. Deshaun Watson's already had two blown ACLs, blew one in college, blew one here. And it affected him for, what, first four, five, six games of the season this year. Mahomes is different, okay? He's different. You know, I mean, when Barack Obama was a community organizer, I'm sure his wife could go out and get ice cream and it'd be no big deal. Then he became president. You can't do that. Depending on what you do for a living, it changes what you can and cannot do. And I don't think the Chiefs are going overboard here. I think they're just applying common sense. We don't want you playing pickup basketball at 24-hour fitness or Lifetime or wherever the hell else you're going, playing with a bunch of dudes that we don't know. Now, if you want to play pickup basketball and you want to do it with your teammates, I got no problem with that because pro athletes understand their bodies and they understand what they can and can't do and what they should and shouldn't do. So that part I'd be open to. But not just showing up. And I mean, listen, I think it's really cool that Mahomes is enough of a regular guy. I think that's one of the things that Kansas City loves about him, that he comes off as a regular, normal dude. And him going and getting in a pickup game with other guys, I think is fun. It's great for the guys that are playing, and it makes him look really cool. You know, it makes him more embraced in Kansas City. But there's certain things you can't do. You know, and the Chiefs are saying too many variables playing pickup basketball with random guys. And I understand where they're coming from on this because the last thing I want is the franchise quarterback for the next 10 to 15 years getting injured playing pickup basketball in the offseason with a bunch of random guys. So I got no problem with what the Chiefs and Brett Veach did today.
Text line 69306 on the Protein House Eat With The Purpose text line. If Mahomes had ruined his knee the other day, today's show would all be bashing a Chiefs about for not stopping him from playing. I can't speak for anybody else. That would not be my stance. My stance would just be it sucks. That would be my stance. Some of you would have that stance that the Chiefs should have stopped him. I just don't know how you stop a 23-year-old from doing something that we all would agree is good exercise in the offseason, that we agree is not extreme. Again, if this was skydiving or bungee jumping, I would be on everybody's side. If there was a video of Mahomes riding a motorcycle with no helmet, I would be on the same side as everybody else. I think he is doing a normal physical activity.
But here's the thing. Even riding a motorcycle, and I have people in my family that ride motorcycles. You could be the safest and the best rider of a motorcycle out there, and some dumbass runs a red light, and the next thing you know, you're in a ditch somewhere. It's the same thing at pickup basketball. You could be doing all the right things, trying to stay safe, trying to not set hard picks, getting away from picks, doing all that stuff, and you can get injured. So I got no problem with this, man. I've got no problem. And next segment, I'll read you part of the Pete Gradoff from The Star wrote a piece, and it's called Part 3 of an NFL Player's Contract, and I'll read you what that had to say, and I think it'll make people understand it a little bit better.
Coming up in just a little bit, a future Hall of Famer offers an interesting perspective on the situation. We'll tell you what he had to say. Coming up, it's The Drive.
The Drive, presented by Tecate.
There's a couple of interesting texts on the text line. That this is one of those things, I'm not saying that I don't see the other side. Like, I get it. I disagree, but I get it. But sometimes I think in an effort to kind of prove our point, we make like the most serious extremes, knowing that that's likely not going to happen. Like someone on the text line says, I just want to wrap Mahomes in bubble wrap during the offseason. Remember how we lost Derek Thomas? I know it's not the same, but I still worry. Okay, come on now. We're talking about playing pickup basketball at 24-hour fitness. That's what we're talking about here. Another text on the text line. It's kind of similar to what you were saying a couple days ago. CDOT, you for sure damn well know the difference between shooting around and playing a competitive pickup game with fans that may want to prove something. It's quite different. I agree he should be able to, but are you going to pay $200 million to someone that could blow a knee at halftime? Maybe I have just played in different pickup scenarios. I don't know many of these rogue fans that are out trying to hurt people when famous people step on the court. And I've played in pickup games with professional athletes, college athletes, famous people. I just can't see this. Now, maybe some of you have. Maybe some of you have been in an environment where a Chiefs player got on the court and your boy wanted to hurt the Chiefs player. I just have never been in these situations. So I feel like in an effort to kind of strengthen our point, we're bringing up scenarios and instances of which Mahomes can be hurt to make the situation sound way more dire when a lot of us played pickup basketball a lot and have never gotten injured one time, and Mahomes is way more athletic than any of us.
Yeah, but why risk it is what I'm saying. I mean, why risk it? You know, and this is from Pete Gradoff's piece in the Kansas City Star. It's called Part 3 of an NFL Player's Contract, and it addresses other activities. So bear with me. I'm going to read this to you. And this is a quote from an NFL Player's Contract from Pete Gradoff's piece in the Kansas City Star. Quote, without prior written consent of the club, player will not play football or engage in activities related to football otherwise than the club or engage in any activity other than football which may involve a significant risk of personal injury. Player represents that he has special, exceptionally unique knowledge, skill, ability, and experience as a football player, the loss of which cannot be estimated with any certainty and cannot be fairly or adequately compensated by damages. Player therefore agrees that club will have the right, in addition to any other right which club may possess, to enjoin player by appropriate proceedings from playing football or engaging in football-related activities other than for the club or from engaging in any activity other than football which may involve a significant risk to personal injury. A lot of legalese in there. But I think what it basically says, in the gray area of that, they wrote it up to say, if you're doing something that we don't think you ought to be doing, that puts your body at risk, that could harm the club, could harm you, we can tell you to stop. And if it's in a contract, then you got to do it. I don't think this needed to be some huge thing, call Mahomes into the office, sit him down, and have this big thing. I think it's a pick up the phone, hey, Pat, saw the video, can you do us a solid? Probably shouldn't be playing pickup basketball with random guys out there. We don't want to risk you getting hurt. I mean, how many times have you seen a guy go up for a layup, a dude goes for a strip, and then there's a collision and something happens? I mean, that's not trying to hurt anybody. That's just a simple basketball play. So I understand where the team is coming from on here. I get it 100%.
Can you read the last part of that to me? Because I think maybe I wouldn't call it a disconnect. Maybe the disagreement that I have is,
okay,
I would not consider pickup basketball. There are other physical activities that I would consider to be that. I personally would not consider going to 24-hour fitness and playing basketball to be that.
Yeah, because I don't think it matters what you think, though. It matters what the club thinks. And they think if their commodity, their asset, their potential $200 million quarterback gets hurt doing that, then they can tell them not to. All right, I'll pick it up with, okay.
It was like the last eight words you read.
Okay. Football or engaging in football-related activities other than for club or from engaging in any activity other than football which may involve a significant risk of personal injury. So right there. I mean, so they can say, that sounds like to me, that they can say if you're engaging in any activity other than football which may involve a significant risk of personal injury, that they can ask you or tell you not to.
So I want to read to you, this is what Richard Sherman had to say about it because he retweeted the story from Pro Football Talk. Yeah, that's not going to work. If they don't want to put him in hooping, then put it in his contract. It's not there so he can do as he pleases. Most players do. We would agree that most players probably play pickup basketball in the offseason.
Yeah.
He then continues to go on because someone tweets him. He put, exactly, it keeps him in shape and he enjoys it. It's going to be hard to keep him from doing it. It's what we all do. It's how you stay in shape. It's also having fun while doing something. Yeah, he's a hooper. He's got talent. That's just how I know this isn't something he's going to stop. That's kind of where I'm at in this. I don't really know how much you can stop Mahomes from doing this. I don't know how much you can stop him from doing it. Like I said, maybe you can stop him from going to 24-hour fitness. I don't think that today was the last, or a couple of days ago was the last time that Mahomes plays basketball while he's in the NFL. I just don't know how realistic it is. It's probably the last time that we see him playing basketball, but you're telling me now at 23 years old that the next time Mahomes plays pickup basketball, he's out of the NFL? I'm going to strongly say that's not the case. I'm going to guess that Mahomes probably plays basketball in a very similar environment. He's just telling you, hey, don't record me here. Hey, you know how I get in trouble. That if you've been doing this your entire life leading up to it, I would guess Mahomes was probably playing pickup basketball during the season, or at least some part of it. Like I don't know if that was the first time. I'm just going to guess it's not.
Yeah.
Especially how nice his game looked in that. It looked like somebody that plays basketball kind of consistently. I just think this is just going to be an issue with them. Now, I don't think it's a big issue by any means. I just don't know if one phone call of, hey, we don't think you should do this, is going to stop Mahomes from doing it. So that injury risk that people are so afraid of is just always going to be around
him. Well, I mean, I hope he would listen to it because I want Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs to have a really good relationship. You know, and I think it's important that if your employer asks you to not do something and you're Patrick Mahomes, that you say, okay, makes sense. And the other part of this, too, is why would you take an unneeded risk? Is your love of basketball more than your love of playing quarterback in the NFL and getting set up for life for generations to come? So you would rather not give up playing pickup basketball, risk injury, than play in the NFL and potentially go and win a Super Bowl and get paid $200 million after next season. To me, it's common sense. I would hate it if I'm looking at it through the eyes of Mahomes, and Brett Veach comes to me, and I'm Mahomes, and he says, "Hey, Fanning, I can't have you playing pickup basketball. We want to make sure you're healthy. We want to make sure you're ready to go. You mean too much to our basketball or to our football team. Could you not do that for me?" I'd say, "Absolutely. It sucks. I love playing pickup basketball, but I get it and I understand it because I'm a pro, and that's what pros do." So that's what I would hope would happen. Because what's the risk involved? For Mahomes, it's the risk for Mahomes and the risk for the Chiefs is outrageous. And if Mahomes goes out there, buckles a knee, separates his throwing shoulder, and all of a sudden that cannon's not there anymore, then look what you've lost. I mean, look at what the Chiefs invested to get him. You have to look at that too. I mean, they traded up. They gave away draft picks to go up and get him and invest in him. They've invested in him heavily. In the scouting and everything that they've put into getting that quarterback and getting the right guy in Kansas City.
I would argue that they've already cashed in on the investment.
Well, maybe, but I mean, what, going to the AFC title game?
Yeah, I mean, having the MVP ticket sales and all that kind of stuff. Well, I would argue that right now, at least for next year, it is, you already won the trade. So if Mahomes never plays football again for the Chiefs, I would say that the draft pick already won.
See, I think that would be disappointing as hell.
I agree with that.
Yeah, so I mean, is it worth it? And so if you have common sense, you got half a brain and you sit down, is it worth it to keep playing pickup basketball with random dudes at 24-hour fitness? To me, the simple answer is no.
Can I ask you this?
Yeah.
Do you think this would be the same if he played baseball?
I don't know. If he was going to be the MVP of Major League Baseball and lead your team to the American League Championship Series, and he's a guy that you heavily depended on, yeah. I don't think it'd be as big of a deal because, in my opinion, quarterback is the most important position of all the sports and has more impact on the game itself than any one player in baseball. So, yeah, it would be a big deal, but not as big as being the quarterback of a franchise that has a chance to win a Super Bowl.
Because we can agree there is a player that is a quarterback of a franchise that has a chance to win a Super Bowl that plays baseball, and it doesn't appear to be a big deal.
Well, he plays minor league baseball. He didn't play it the entire season. I don't know what's in Russell Wilson's contract. Maybe I would assume that Russell Wilson has it in his contract that he can go and do that. And if that's the case, that's something completely different.
But, I mean, it's also the injury risk of it.
But then that's the Seahawks deciding, hey, we're okay with that. You know, the Chiefs, based on what Brett Veach said today, probably aren't okay with that. I don't think the Chiefs will let Mahomes go play in the G League, you know, when he's not playing NFL football. So, yeah, I think it's different. Now, if Mahomes wants to get in his contract that he can go pick up basketball and the Chiefs are okay with it, then fine. Go do it. But to me, you got a lot to lose here, kid. You haven't signed that second contract yet. You've made some nice money, but you're going to make crazy money and be the face of the league, face of the franchise. To me, it's not worth the risk. I mean, I think it's common sense. It sucks because you want to be this normal 23-year-old kid and do the things that 23-year-old athletic guys do, but he's not a normal 23-year-old. He's a freaking genius at what he does. And you've got to protect that. You've got to protect your commodity. And I understand what the Chiefs are doing. I don't have a problem with it at all.
Coming up in just a little bit, this conversation led to a fun discussion. We'll have it coming up next. It's The Drive.
The Drive, presented by Tecate.
Back in on The Drive, coming up in about 15 minutes or so. We'll give you a chance to win a free large pizza. We'll also learn more about our producer, Brandon Kiley, with Brandon's Random Facts. I also heard Fesco say something really interesting today on Show and Vern. He stopped as a guest and said something about the Kansas City Chiefs. We'll talk about that. But all this talk about pickup basketball, it got me thinking about something.
What's that?
Who is the worst person to have on your team in pickup basketball? Because you think Mahomes is a ball hawk. Now, I don't know how you think that
I only saw one. It was kind of a joke. I didn't see him pass. He had some open guys. And he was taking it himself.
He scored. I mean, you can take all the shots you want as long as you make them. Sure. I ain't got no problem with that. But nobody wants to play with ineffective ball hawk. You know, like nobody wants to play with the guy that takes a lot of shots but doesn't make a lot of shots.
Yeah, that guy sucks to play with.
Now, I don't know how efficient Patrick Mahomes is. Like, maybe he's not an efficient scorer. You know, you definitely, if you're going to take your shots.
We don't have a big sample size of video from him.
No, we don't. We just got the one. But, I mean, I have seen some high school stuff to think that Mahomes can still hoop a little bit. And the move that he did, that's just not something you randomly can pull out. Like, that's a high-level move. Who's the worst person to have on your team and pick up basketball? I've got my person. Who's the worst person to have on your team?
The worst guy to have on your team is ball hog guy that never gets back on defense. Takes a ton of shots, never helps out on D. You're always 5-on-4 on defense, and he's cherry-picking, takes a lot of shots. That's the worst guy. The worst guy to play against is like spastic, non-athletic dude that's just all over you. You know, you don't know what he's going to do, trying way too hard, got his jorts on. That's the worst guy. Or cargo shorts. He's playing in cargo shorts.
I'm just starting to learn that you and I have just played in very different basketball environments. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, I can't think of too many times I hooped and the guy that was guarding me had on jean shorts. You know what I mean?
I might have exaggerated that a little bit. I was just adding some flavor to it.
I can't really think of too many times that happens. Like, I've just never been in those environments. BK, who is the worst person to have on your team and pick up basketball?
I think that it's the same for both sides. Elbow guy. Elbow guy inside is the worst because when you're playing with him, you're going to end up in a fight because he's the guy that's getting the fight with the other team. When you're playing against him, he's the worst dude going up against. Elbow guy all over the place is the worst guy in pickup.
Undercut guy when you're going up for a layup is bad guy too. There's always that guy that can't
get
there.
I play with that guy very often.
Yeah, that you can't. Like,
I'm telling you, we're learning that Fanning has played in some grimy pickup.
Oh, absolutely, man.
You played in some grimy backyard games.
When I was a freshman in high school out in Western Kansas, we had like 45 minutes to an hour for lunch. And we'd go into the gym. You play pickup basketball. It was called Buffalo Ball. It was like anything goes, man. You know, it's not like, hey, I got you on that foul. That's not how it works. Like, you go in and you hard foul no matter what. I mean, it was tough.
We would get in a fight if that was the rules. Yeah. Like, I mean, I don't know how many times Buffalo Ball ended up in a brawl, but that's what it would be. It would be called Buffalo Brawl, not Buffalo Ball. If I go up and you, Kurt Rambis, try to clothesline me on a layup, I think we're throwing the hands.
This is back in 1985 when people's feelings didn't get hurt as easily.
So I wrote down, this is the list of the guy that I think is the worst to have on your team. This is the worst person to go up against. The worst guy to have on your team is, we've all done this before. Tall guy walks on the court.
Mm-hmm.
He's like 6'5", 6'6". You're thinking he's about to dominate in the paint.
Yeah, you got a post player.
Like, he's about to be Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. He's going to be Joel Embiid out here. He's going to get your buckets down low. Throw it down to him. He's going to be a consistent, Udoka Azubuike bucket getter for you. And then you find out that he plays like James Harden. Then you find out that he just wants to shoot threes. And you're like, if I had this information in the beginning,
I wouldn't have picked you.
I call him a catfish. That's who he is. He's a catfish. You're thinking that he's going to be a dominant low post scorer for you, but he's taken 8 threes in your pickup basketball game. We've all been hoodwinked and fooled by that guy on your team. Another guy who's a worse person to go up against is, to me, everybody, like, there's certain foul calls that you don't have in pickup basketball.
Sure.
Like you might get fouled, but it's a play through it kind of thing.
Yeah.
So if the rules of the game are everybody's playing through it, it's got to be a serious, you got to hear a slap, and that's the only way we're calling foul, but then everybody knows it gets tight. It's 10-9. We're going to 11. It's game point here. The guy that then wants to call it like it's the NBA Finals and then ticky-tack and call everything is absolutely the worst person on the court. Like, hold on. It's been freedom of movement the entire game. Everybody's going up and down the court. Now, because it's game point, you get bumped a little bit. You want to call fouls so you guys can keep getting the ball to try to win the game. That's the worst person to go up against in pickup basketball.
Yeah, you don't want that guy. You don't want that guy. Guy out of shape guy, too, is the worst as well. Out of shape guy that can't get up and down the court. That guy, I mean, he's absolutely no help to your team whatsoever. I don't like out of shape guy either.
Text line 69306. How about the guy who tries to coach you? The guy that is like thinks he's a point guard.
Yes, I love that.
And the guy that's like trying to call plays and set back picks and wants you to run like flex offense is at, bro, we out here just trying to, we are just out here trying to stay in shape. We're out here trying to just get a nice little sweat, good little lather, run up and down the court. I'm trying to get a couple buckets, get a couple assists, and go home safe, man. That's literally all I'm trying to do.
Anybody who shows up with, whether it's like sweatbands on the arm or the headband, anybody who shows up with a little too much going on.
Yeah, that's spastic defense, that non-athletic guy. That's who that is.
See, but I think it depends on the era because, BK, you and I grew up in the Allen Iverson era that, like, there were a lot of kids that had the
Don't
little
give
shooting
away
sleeve.
My one of my random facts today.
Yeah, like everybody had the shooting sleeve. Everybody had the headband. So like that necessarily wasn't the sign of that you were going to be spastic guy. Like sometimes you just thought, oh man, that guy. Like sometimes you got catfished by him too. He had the headband on. He had the Iverson sleeve on. He had the Jordans on. You're thinking, yo, he can hoop. Then you pick him up on your team. And you're like, he's terrible. Yeah. He's another basketball catfish.
The other one too is like you got to be self-aware when you play pickup, right? Like you and I have talked about this because you asked me what kind of player I was when I played pickup basketball. I was a pick setter, block some guys out, good passer, set up other guys, occasionally drive to the bucket when nobody's paying attention to me. There's guys that aren't necessarily self-aware out there. They think they're a scorer and they're not. You know what I mean?
Like, absolutely.
They think they're a point guard and they're not. I don't like playing with those guys either.
Someone says, how about the guy who sweats a lot? Excessive sweat guy. The funny thing about that guy is he always wants to go skins. That guy never offers to go shirts in that scenario. Yeah. Like when you're trying to, you know, back in the day, we used to go shirts and skins. Now we adults now. We ain't got to go through all that. But back in the day when you were playing it, the kid that was the sweaty kid always, oh, I'll go skins. Bro, we don't want you to go skins. Yeah. I have absolutely no interest. You seem like you would volunteer to go skins, guy.
No, I'm not going skins. Not now. Maybe back in the day I would. Certainly not now.
Text line 69306. How about phantom point guy calling out buckets that never happened or counts points from previous games? Those people start fights. You don't know how many games I've seen. You don't know how many games I've seen where a serious physical or verbal confrontation started because of the score. Like you say 6-4s, no, it's 6-5. And then you got to go back and you got to do a roll count and you kind of count every single point that happened. And then somebody can't remember if it was a 1 or a 2. I have seen fights break out because we couldn't keep track of the score. Then you got to go inside the little thing and somebody's got to manually sit on the sideline and keep score because that's the only neutral observer in this.
How often do you play pickup basketball?
I don't play pickup basketball as much, but growing up, I mean, all the time I played pickup. That's what I'm saying is a lot of these games you're describing, I've never, again, maybe it's just where you play. I had no clue that you were playing a lot of Swope Park basketball growing up, where now everybody's Charles Oakley in your pickup game.
It was just tough. Like you played through fouls. I mean, you know, the games that I played in growing up, man, you'd be a lead story in the freaking local news. You know, I mean, everybody, you can't touch anybody anymore. Oh, hard foul. I'm going to go tell mommy. Okay, neat. Well, that's not really the way it worked when I was growing up. When we were playing basketball. Hard fouls were part of it. I mean, we saw it in the NBA all the time. You talked about Charles Oakley, you know, nasty boys with the Pistons. That's the way we grew up playing basketball.
The bad boys.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
The bad boys.
Yeah.
It's all good.
I was thinking of the nasty boys, the Cincinnati Reds, those guys.
Text line 69. Text line 69306. I'm like three of these guys. I got some stuff to think about. Yeah, nobody wants you on their team, bro. It's that simple. Nobody wants you on their team. Nobody wants you playing with them. Text line 69306. Fanning, he is very sneaky, athletic, intelligent, coach's son, outworks opponent. That's basically who you describe. I had no clue this whole time that you were basically Keaton Page.
Yeah.
That's who you were.
I mean, it took me a while to figure that out, though.
Brady Heslip. That's who you are.
Because in the beginning, everybody thinks they're a scorer and a baller, right? And then you're not. I emceed the Hall of Fame induction ceremony at Shawnee Mission North the other night. And my wife and I were sitting in the stands, and I said, hey, see all these stairs? And she goes, yeah. And I go, I ran them for an entire practice one day. So, yeah, it's I mean, you have to figure out who you are as a basketball player, and I knew very quickly I wasn't very good.
Fanning's Phil Forte.
Yeah, that's who you
been
are.
Been at
yeah.
Oklahoma State for 27 years.
Yeah, absolutely.
We never talk about how Phil Forte just basically, like, went back through the education system and just became Keaton Page. Like, it literally for 8 years at Oklahoma State, they had the exact same player. Someone on the text line says, I only shoot threes, guys. It's so annoying. He'll go 5 for 20.
Yeah.
The funny thing about that guy is he will always hit the last shot of the game winner, that will completely eliminate the other shots in his mind. Like, he'll take 11 shots and make two of them, but he'll hit the critical bucket in the game, and he will think that he was the team MVP. Like, that guy is also overconfident about his ability, guys.
You know who that guy is, too? He's crappy golfer guy that rolls in a 15-footer on 18 that thinks he's a really good player, and he's not.
Coming up in just a little bit, we'll learn more about our guy BK and Brandon's random facts. Plus, we'll give you a chance to win a large pizza from the other place. All you got to do is keep it locked in right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive, presented by Tecate.
Well, let's go.
Give me a minute.
You are officially on the clock.
Back in on The Drive, coming up in just a little bit, we'll learn more about our producer, Brandon Kiley, in Brandon's Random Facts. We also have a movie today for the pop quiz. But as we do every day at this time, BK, give me a minute. So, a story that is absolutely going to fall between the cracks in Kansas City, I thought was a very interesting quote. This is from Donald Penn, who plays offensive line for the Oakland Raiders. Here's what he had to say today on NFL Network about the trade of Khalil Mack.
You know, no matter what nobody says, you know, we tried to overcome it. But when you trade your best player away at the beginning of the week, it takes a toll on guys, whether they say it or not. You know, we fought through it. We tried to stay together. It was a tough season, man. You know, Khalil Mack's one of my good friends. I'm happy he went and did what he did. But I knew kind of when I saw Aaron McDonald sign that deal, I kind of knew in the back of my head we weren't going to be able to sign Khalil because all that money he was going to ask. And I knew where Gruden was coming from because I might know different because I've been in the league for so long. I know it's a business.
I thought what Donald Penn said there is really interesting. I think you could see it from the Oakland Raiders. I think that trading Khalil Mack kind of took the soul away from that team. But I think it sent a message to the other guys in the locker room. If he'll trade Khalil Mack, he will absolutely trade you when it is time to pay you. Khalil Mack, he's better off for it. He's in a great situation in Chicago. He got paid. Let's see what Oakland does with the first-round draft pick that they got in exchange for Khalil Mack. That's certainly one of the biggest stories to happen last football season. We'll see how it affects the Raiders moving forward. That is my minute for the day.
BK, give me a minute, please. Today would have been former Royals pitcher and Royals Hall of Famer Dan Quisenberry's 66th birthday. Quiz died at age 45 on September 30th of 1998 of brain cancer. He is second in team history with 573 saves. Dan Quisenberry is one of my favorite all-time Royals, and I think there's a lot of people out there that are with me on this. He was a poet. He was hilarious. And for the people that sat in right field general admission back in the day, you remember how hot those games would be in the summer? Dan Quisenberry would get the hose out, and he would spray the crowd from the bullpen. It's hard to believe that Dan Quisenberry has been dead now for 21 years. Like, that blows me away. So RIP Dan Quisenberry. He's one of the greatest in Royals history. He was funny. He was terrific at what he did. He was unique. And I can't believe he's gone, man. So Dan Quisenberry. I still remember I did the story when I was a sportscaster in Wichita, Kansas. And I about got choked up reading it on the air. That's how much of an impact that Dan Quisenberry had on me. And I know a lot of Royals fans feel the same way. So RIP Dan Quisenberry. Died, would have been 66 years old today. Died when he was 45.
You remember whenever Heiss called Paul Splitor's family.
Yes, that was awful.
You remember that?
Yeah, I do remember that.
It was an incredible time. If you guys don't remember the story, yeah, I forgot what terrible. We were trying to do. We were trying to get, like, former Royals something.
We were setting them up, like, leading up to spring training. We were trying to get former Royals on the air.
Yeah, it was, like, Throwback Thursday or something. Well, like, every Thursday we were having, like, a former Royal. And somebody gave us this, like, long sheet, this, like, PDF file of, like, all these former Royals numbers. And, you know, Heist was our producer. So it was just, hey, you know, we can get some people, you get us some other people. And he called the wife of Paul Splitorf, and let's just say she was not very happy whenever Heisler asked for an interview request for her husband who had passed away. I had to, you know, I had to be the big homie and kind of smooth it over for him, you know what I mean?
We both looked at him and like,
he almost got beat up.
Heist, he passed away. It was not a good day, BK.
What was Heist's reaction? Because Heist is like the nicest guy in the world. Yeah, I can't imagine he felt good about it.
He felt off. I think what he did was.
He almost cried.
I don't think it was the list he got. I think what it was, he went on his baseball reference page and there was an email address. And you know how when you can click on the bio for more information? And he didn't do that. He just saw the email address and he shot an email and he got a response from Splits.
Good hustle to try to get somebody.
Ben Heisler is one of the kindest human beings you can ever come in contact with, and he felt awful.
He was shook for about 2 days.
He really was.
Which, I mean, I laughed, but it wasn't funny.
I'll go ahead and take
it was funny.
It was a little funny.
Today, I want to give a little credit to Bill Belichick because I saw some audio last night from NFL Films. I didn't know Bill Belichick had this side to him. Listen to Bill Belichick after the Patriots won the Super Bowl, how he reacted.
Yes! We're champions! We're champs, man! All right! Go, champ! We're champs!
I don't know what I was reacting or what I was expecting, but I certainly wasn't expecting that from Bill Belichick. And then there was this video of him talking with Rob Gronkowski after the Patriots won the Super Bowl as well.
I haven't stepped out in like 8 months. I gotta step out.
I'm with you, man. Yes. I'm even gonna step out.
Oh, I like it.
I feel like Bill Belichick has been pulling one over on us for all these years. I feel like secretly Belichick would be a good hang. So my minute today is giving a little credit where credit is due. Bill Belichick, maybe he's got a little more personality than we give him credit for.
I watched it when he was mic'd up for that Super Bowl, and I was surprised at the things that I heard. He seems like he'd be a great coach to play for. He wasn't one of those guys that was in everybody's face. He was very supportive and very direct. And I was totally impressed with what I heard from Belichick. I didn't expect that at all based on what we've seen in his press conferences.
I wish I had seen the video of, if you guys haven't seen it, there's an NFL Films video. It is, I believe, Sean McVay and like his quarterback coach, Zach Taylor, and a couple other people. And they are watching Tom Brady throw the ball in warmups, and they are absolutely mesmerized. I wish I had known that because I would have bet every single dollar I have on the Patriots. Like, if you're sitting there in warmups and you're mesmerized at the other team, you're about to get smoked in this game.
And while he was doing that, Belichick was on the other sideline asking the referee, hey, is the dome going to be closed or open when we actually kick the ball off? Yeah. And the refs were like, well, I don't know. It's supposed to be closed the moment that you kick. And he was like, oh, well, then I got to deal with the wind, and that changes everything. Belichick does not leave anything for chance.
Yeah, and he was pissed, too, when he couldn't get a definitive answer of when exactly the exact moment that the roof was going
to
be closed.
He went over to a special teams coach and made sure that he knew exactly what was going to be happening. It was amazing.
Yeah, I mean, Belichick just, he knows the rules better than you. He pays attention to details better than you. He can make adjustments better than you. And that's why he's the greatest NFL coach of all time. Coming up in just a little bit, we'll give you a chance to win a large pizza to the other place. But first, it is time for Brandon Kiley's Random Facts.
All right, my first random fact of the day. As we were talking about pickup, it kind of brought me back to my childhood.
Do you wear rec specs when you play? Because I know you're a contact lens guy.
No, I didn't get contacts until like 2 years ago. Right. I just started getting contacts. I was watching a college basketball game at a bar, realized I couldn't see the score, and I was like, Kara, I think I need to go to the doctor and get some glasses.
I just didn't know if you look like Kurt Rambis out there playing pickup.
No. So what I did was even more ridiculous. AI was my favorite player growing up, so I went with the long socks. I went with a headband, and I went with the armbands. This was when I was like 8, 9 years old, but I guarantee you I looked every bit as ridiculous as you think that I may have.
But you can't at that age. You can't be like 24 and do that.
Yeah, no. I can't be going out playing pickup like that now. But back in the day, that was my go-to.
I think you can argue that aside from Jordan, Allen Iverson is the most influential basketball player that's alive. I think you can really make that argument.
More than LeBron?
Yeah, just during that era, man, just
it was just
like,
different.
And every like The reason people know how to do the crossover, it was not because of Tim Hardaway. It was because of Allen Iverson. Like, that's who you wanted to dribble like growing up. And I really think you can make an argument that aside from Jordan, he's probably number two.
My second random...
Steph might actually be more influential than you think about now three-pointers.
Yeah, with the way the game is played, mm-hmm. for sure. My second random fact for the day, I would rather go to a hole-in-the-wall dive bar than a classy restaurant any day of the week.
I'm with you on that, dude.
Where's a good dive bar in St. Louis that you enjoyed?
Dive bar in St. Louis... I went to a place, it's not necessarily a dive bar, but it's like a little tiny brewery, mm-hmm. a place called Heavy Riff that was kind of my go-to. That was my spot.
BK, you've been to the Quaff downtown? That's a great place to go.
I actually did. I just went to the Quaff, actually.
That counts as a dive bar? I feel like it's too big to be a dive bar. Well, I don't know enough about dive bars.
I go to the Peanut all the time. Yeah. Like my spot here in KC is like the original Peanut downtown.
The
like,
Peanut, to me, would count because it's so small. Like, the Peanut's small. Yeah. The Quaff is big.
Yeah, but the Quaff didn't used to be that way. The Quaff used to be just one of those long taverns in Skinny, you know, like the where the bar is. And then it opened up, you know, over there. So I still consider the Quaff that. Jerry's Bait Shop in Lenex is fantastic, too, by the way. It's exactly your kind of place.
Nice.
See, I'm not a dive bar guy. If I'm going out, I'm going somewhere really nice.
Fair enough.
Yeah, I'm not. Man. I love dive bars. They're the best.
My third random fact. Like, for instance, I would rather go to Memphis than Nashville. I think that's kind of telling as to what kind of a scene that I would look for. My third final random fact for you guys. My favorite Nickelodeon show growing up was Rocket Power. Rocket Power would be number one on my power rankings of Nickelodeon shows growing up.
I'm a huge Doug person.
Really?
I was a little
like pre-Rocket Power.
Yeah, no, I love Doug. Have you seen this movie called Mid-90s?
Mm-mm.
I think you would really like it. I was watching this review and they call it like the real life version of Rocket Power.
Really?
It's with Jonah Hill. It's like a 90s nostalgia movie about skateboarding. It's actually really good.
You start talking Nickelodeon, I got nothing on that, man.
You know who Jonah Hill is, though.
Yeah, I know who Jonah Hill is, for sure.
Yeah, no, you might like the movie. It's pretty good. I enjoyed it.
Superbad was amazing. And then, the one with Leonardo DiCaprio where he's the Wall Street guy?
Wolf of Wall Street.
Jonah Hill was fantastic in that movie, by the way.
Coming up, we'll give you a chance to win a large pizza to the other place. And Fesco said something really interesting today on Show and Vern. Pop quiz!
Stand by, going to air. Exciting quiz program.
Pop quiz.
I'm sorry, but all questions must be submitted in writing.
Today's pop quiz is presented by Victory Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram. Today's pop quiz is a movie. BK, take it away.
You worked for 35 years. You thought you was going to leave your kids a will. Now you're going to leave them a won't. You show up to get your pension, they give you a pen. Give you a damn pen. Now what the hell am I supposed to do with a pen? I should just stab you in the neck with this pen, Mr. Pension Taker.
If you know what movie that is, be calling number 6, the 913-576-7610. Coming up in just 2 minutes, don't turn that dial. Fesco said something very interesting today on Show and Vern regarding the Kansas City Chiefs. I disagree with it. We'll talk about it coming up. It's The Drive.
The Drive, presented by Tecate.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.